This is music from Cooper Moore. Welcome to The Checkout. It's also a podcast. Subscribe to it on iTunes and Stitcher, and it's produced at WBGO in Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. A bundle of discarded wood on a New York City sidewalk and a small piece of advice from a close friend inspired artist Cooper Moore as an inventor of instruments. He already played the piano pretty proficiently and other conventional instruments at an early age, but Cooper Moore wanted to do something totally different. So he followed his instincts as a country boy from Virginia and decided to make his own instruments, like the one you're hearing right now in our studio. The instrument designer joins us today to share his homemade creations. This is The Checkout. Thanks for checking in. I bide my time. That's the motto of Loudoun County in Northern Virginia, the rural area outside of D.C. where the artist Cooper Moore comes from, the multi-instrumentalist, has been biding his time. We have all been biding our time, waiting for the long overdue recognition and praise for an original American artist, which I put you in that bracket, sir. Well, we wait no further, because on May 28th through June 3rd in New York City, Cooper Moore will be the subject of honor at Vision Fest 22, the Free Jazz Festival for a Just Future. Congratulations to Cooper Moore, who is in studio with us, about ready to receive his Lifetime Achievement Award and play for us some of his beautiful music, beginning right here with this handmade instrument, the ashimba.
Thank you, Simon. But before I play it, I'd like to introduce the song. The tune is called Emancipation. And when I play this song, I have an image of an old black slave man in the deep South, and he's in the fields working, and he hears through the grapevine that Abe Lincoln has signed the Emancipation Proclamation and that he is no longer a slave. And this is him realizing that and then slipping out of that field and on his way to freedom. This is Emancipation. That's Emancipation.
By Cooper Moore, originally born as Gene Y. Ashton, born on August 31st, 1946, in the segregated South. So I understand.
Apartheid South. I think that's a term which is more fitting. Apartheid.
Please clarify that, because apartheid is obviously the system that was created in South Africa of separation.
Yes, but that system really came from here. You know, that came from here. Apartheid we think of as a harder place to have lived, but America under apartheid America was a hard place to live.
So probably themes of emancipation then resonate strongly with you even to this day.
Yes, I'm a free person, so, and I think of that tune all the time. You know, I had a patron and mentor who discovered me when I was 17 years old, and patron and mentor meaning he hipped me to the classical music world. We'd live in Virginia, and he'd say, let's go up to the Met and hear Tristan. So we'd fly up to New York City and hear Tristan, you know. Or he'd say, let's go out to University of Indiana and hear Parsifal. We'd go out to University of Indiana and hear Parsifal, or Chicago and hear Schulte conduct a Chicago symphony. But beyond that...
this is an early classical music. We're talking Purcell. And,
you know, deep, you know. And once he was giving me a ride in his car back to D.C. so I could come back to Boston where I was living. And he threw his wallet in my lap. I said, why are you doing this? Why are you giving me all this? And he said to me, because I want you to be free. So this was a rich white man.
And this is the same man that introduced you to Harry Parch.
Yes, that's right.
Well, I bring up Harry Parch because obviously we know him as being a famous inventor of instruments and mm-hmm. designer and builder. And what you are hearing right now is something that you invented. What are we listening to?
Well, I built it. I mean, it's a xylophone. It's a xylophone. It's 11-bar xylophone, and the scale is what you just heard. And I found all of the bars on this on Canal and Green Street, Lower Manhattan. And I picked them up, and I brought them back to my loft. And Jimmy Hopps, who's a drummer, he was playing with Stanley Cowell and Charles Tolliver and the bass player in Music Incorporated. So, you know, he was staying there, and he walked by me one day. He saw that bundle of wood on the floor, and he looked at it, that bundle of wood, and he says, that's your future. I believed him. He had that sense. I believed the man. He's a great drummer. And that day I built this instrument 40-plus years ago, 1974.
Can I go dumpster diving with you?
Oh, well... I don't dumpster dive anymore because, you know, I've brought too many critters into my apartment that, and I don't do that anymore, you know.
It is dangerous in New York, for
sure. Yeah, very, you know, so I don't do that anymore. But the idea of using materials that other people have thrown away, I think that's a good mindset.
All right, why don't we segue to the next instrument you're going to share with us?
The next instrument is called a diddly bow, and it's a one-string bass instrument. It's a string over a board. It's actually a zither because it has two bridges, and it's a precursor. I think of it as the precursor to the piano because it is. I mean, and the piano is a zither, a giant zither with, you know, lots of strings, and... the diddly bow, or monochord, as Pythagoras, you know, talked about it 2,500 years ago, I play it with two sticks, and I use the sticks as tangents to the string. So I don't push the string down to the board, so I'll show you now.
If you go to our Facebook page, the checkout from WBGO, you can watch these instruments that Cooper Moore is playing.
But the diddly bow, one is a... Are we ready? No?
Yeah.
The diddly bow is a one-string bass. I'm using an upright D string, and I'm tuning it down to, usually down to a C, but I think it's higher now. And I play it by touching the sticks to the string. So this is the open string, and by touching, I can... ¶¶ And I also will play it by beating on the bridge and fretting with my thumb and palm. And so now I'll do a piece using a number of those techniques.
What's it called?
This is called A Lament for Trees. And the first name was, It's a Sad, Sad World. Thank you.
We're listening to Cooper Moore here on The Checkout from WBGO. I'm Simon Rettner, and we're celebrating him at Vision 22, Free Jazz for a Just Future, May 28th through June 3rd. And he's going to be presenting a variety of his own projects, including collaborating with William Parker's In Order to Survive, Gerald Cleaver's Black Host, some of his favorite bands, plus...
These are my favorite bands. Those three bands are my favorite bands. William Parker's, and I played in all three of them, so. And they're my favorite bands. And they're my favorite because of the energy they put out. And that it doesn't matter. Each person in each one of those bands can lead the band. Can lead the band. And that's not often. They're each leaders of their own.
Mm-hmm. And if you like what you're hearing right now and want to learn more about Cooper Moore, there's actually going to be a documentary film screening at Anthology Film Archives on May 28th as well. We'll learn more about you. This instrument here reminds me of an ancient banjo instrument found in West Africa, Ngoni. Are these connections?
Well, this one is more like there's one in South Africa that children play. It looks just like this. One child with the stick and the other child with fret.
I feel like this instrument would work well with others.
It does. I remember opening, playing with a band that opened for Nancy Wilson in the Napa Valley Vineyard some years ago with a bunch of musicians from Baton Rouge, you know, a bunch of Alvin Baptiste's people.
So where did this inspiration initially come from, that I need to invent and create my own instruments? Did you have a dream?
No. I came to New York with David Esware and Mark Edwardson with a band called Apogee.
You met David Esware in Berklee College of Music.
Yes. And David and Mark Edwardson went with Cecil Taylor, went with the master. I was playing piano. I had no band. I was very depressed. And Jimmy Hopps, the drummer who was living in the house, he was playing with Music Incorporated then, and along with Favreau Sanders' band. He came to me every day. And he talked to me every day. You know, he woke me up at 9 in the morning. He said, "Tea is on." I would get out of the loft, and we'd sit there. And he would talk to me. And finally, he said, "This is your opportunity." And the day that I found that bundle of wood, and he walked by me and looked, he said, "That's your future," and went on into his room. And I built that instrument. So that was the inspiration to start building. It was for him saying to me, "This is your opportunity." That's having a real mentor, someone who had been out there on the road. He understood the world, the jazz world. He understood that the object was to become oneself.
That's right.
And these were tools to help me do that. So that was the inspiration. And that summer of 1974, I built about a dozen instruments. And then one day he came to me, he says, "Bring all these instruments over to a recording studio on Green Street down in Soho." And when I got there, there was Cecil McBee, that's the bass player. He gave one of my instruments to Cecil, gave one instrument to Joe Bonner, who was a piano player. He gave one to some other people. There was about 8 or 9 people. He gave all the instruments out, and we recorded. And then afterwards, when I went back to my house, I said to him, "What was that?" He said, "That was your session." I said, "But who's going to pay for it?" He says, "I'll call Roberta." He meant Roberta Flack. He called Roberta Flack, and she paid for the session. So that was the beginning of why I realized what level I was on, that I had to continue doing this. I left New York, went back to Virginia, and started working on how to play these things, what to do with them, how to incorporate them with other musicians.
Well, before we go into this next instrument that you introduced us to, I thought we could actually hear some of your piano playing.
Which one are you playing?
You tell me. What should folks hear?
I think you should play David S. Ware's Birth of a Being.
Okay.
You have that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Let's listen to it.
Thank you.
I'm sure you're known around the world and in New York as the guy that creates these amazing original instruments. Does your piano playing ever get overlooked?
By some. You understand, piano is a difficult subject. You know, I'm very comfortable playing the instruments, you know, because I have a niche. It's my niche in New York City. Piano, there are tons of great piano players. Tons. You know, it's much more difficult to find your way as a piano player. Much more difficult. I'm lucky in that I'm hired by some people to do that. I'm lucky because I've been around a while. As I said earlier, Lenny Pickett said, say yes to the gig, show up on time, don't complain, be nice. You know, and I wasn't always that way. I'm much more that way now. So people call me to play piano, and so I'll do it. But it's much more difficult. There's a history of piano. It's a history. And as you get older, it's much difficult to continue to innovate.
How do you find an original voice on a piano these days? That sounds like an impossible task.
Okay, play this track, my newest recording. When I decided that I was going to record this, I went back and I heard, in my mind, when I was 10 years old, there was a man who came to our house. He had grown up with my parents. His name was Gene Quickly. And he banged out. He just banged out stuff. And after he left, I told my father, he played all wrong. And then my father said, no, you understand? He would play this kind of music like in barns. There were no amplifiers. You couldn't play. You couldn't play one note at a time. You really had to bang out the piano. And then, when I was about 15 or 16 years old, I heard James Brown playing with it was a all instrumental sound. I heard him playing piano and organ, where he just banged out the music. You know, he wasn't playing single notes. He was banging it out. When I went to college, I was 18, 19 years old, and I started going out to organ clubs in Washington, D.C., I heard organists play that same way, where they played clusters of music, open palms. As long as the melody was in the bass and the melody was in the pinky up top, you could hear it, and it sounded good. It was like a voice. So I realized that that's how I wanted to play. Thank you. So that's what you just heard. You heard me playing clusters as the main technique for me. So I think that hopefully will leave in the legacy in people's minds that, well, even when he was 70 years old, he was still coming up with stuff that was different from what he was playing when he was 24.
Obviously, themes of do-it-yourself, self-determination.
I'm from the country. I'm from a rural agricultural America where that was something that you learned early. You had to depend on doing it yourself.
And did that stem more from the country or being an African American?
No, it's country. That's rural.
Like that's rural. Okay. Oh,
sure, sure. I mean, okay. It doesn't matter whether you're in Iowa or in upstate New York. No, if you or Vermont, you know, it's in the middle of the winter. The snow is on the ground. There's nobody can come out there and help you fix your tractor. You know, or your boiler, or your stove. You had to learn how to do it early on. You learn how to build your own house or your sheds. You know, you learn how to build a latrine so you could go do your business. Okay, you learn how to cook because there were no McDonald's or restaurants. There were no restaurants. You had to learn how to cook. You learn how to preserve your food. You learn how to hunt. You learn what vegetation you could eat. You know, because you know you were hungry.
Coming up with with your name, Cooper Moore, is that a way of you paying homage to your mother's?
Coming up with Cooper, now those were two of my grandmothers, my mother's mother and my father's mother, Granny Cooper and Granny Moore, who lived, you know, half a mile away from each other and never spoke. You know, because one was holier than thou, and the other, my father called the town slut. You know, but coming up, you taking the name Cooper Moore was because I was not good to women as a younger person, a younger man. I didn't treat women properly, and I wanted to have some kind of symbol that was attached to me to make me be good. And you know, it's very difficult to be bad in front of your grandparents, your grandmothers. You know, because they bring out something else in you, you know. Grandparents, grandmothers especially, are very different. And so Cooper Moore has to do with me not being that person I used to be, which was an abusive person and not a nice person, you know. And I wanted to change. I get up in the morning. My wife says, what are you doing today? I said, I'm going to work on being a good person. And that's what I do every day. I get up. That's part of the practice.
That is practice.
Yeah, it's practice, being a good person. And I fail before noon every day. Every day I fail, you know. But that's not a reason to not do it, you know. You just continue to do it, you know, and keep doing it. Music, too. I mean, I failed a half a dozen times every time I play these instruments today, you know. But I know that if I keep playing, it'll get there. It'll get there.
Well, why don't you introduce to us what you built here, this next instrument?
This is... I think, in many ways, one of my most expressive instruments. First, everything I do was based on blues. But this one, you would definitely hear blues because it's a very vocal instrument. It's a bow. So this is a bow that I'm going to bow with a violin bow. And it has a tiny little lapel mic that's attached to it, which goes up next to my mouth. And I will open and close my mouth as a resonator, and what you hear is my mouth as a filter, and I'm speaking the vowels. It's like Jimi Hendrix with a wah-wah pedal. I'm doing it with my mouth.
We're speaking with Cooper Moore here on The Checkout, the original American artist, instrument designer, creator, and lifetime achievement recipient of this year's Vision Festival 22 in New York City, taking place May 28th through June 3rd.
So I think when you know, that honor of being the lifetime achievement, it's all about surviving. We spoke to you earlier. I've survived. I'll be 71 this year, so I've survived a lot of different stuff, you know, and lost a lot of people, you know, which is, you know, we who went through the.
You lost your buddy, David S. Ware.
Yeah, but I want to go back further. You know, when I came to the city 32 years ago, I was working in the dance and theater and and a world. I wasn't working in the music world, basically. I mean, they're the, those are the people who employed me and I made money. And I don't know one male dancer that I work with them who is alive. You know, so when I talk about loss, I mean, you talk about a lot of people. The epidemic, the AIDS took so many people, so many people. And that was difficult. It was like war. You know, war when you just, these young people, young men, they just, all you go to play a class and the teacher's not there anymore, he's dead. Or the students, they're not there anymore, they're dead. So that was a wake up about, you know, how I was going to live my life.
Well, you can go see Cooper Moore Free Jazz Festival for a Just Future and pay homage.
But also come to hear me. You know, we go, you know, you can see me, but come to hear me.
Let's all listen to Cooper Moore.
May your life be full of meaning, and may your life be full of joy. May your life be free from suffering and pain, and may your life be full of life. And may all your cares be little ones, and all your little ones be free from care. May your life be free from suffering and pain, and may your life be full of love, 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 love. Love, 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 love. Love is wonderful. The love of a woman for a woman is wonderful. Wonderful, oh, so wonderful. And the love of a woman for a man, that is wonderful. Love, 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 love. Love, 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 love. Love is wonderful. The love of a man for a man is wonderful. Wonderful, oh, so wonderful. And the love of a man for a woman, that too is love, 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 love. Love, 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 love is wonderful. The love of a father for his children is wonderful, wonderful, oh, so wonderful. And the love of a child for his father, that is love, 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 love. Love, 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 love. Love is wonderful, oh, so wonderful. The love of a mother for her children is wonderful, wonderful, oh, so wonderful. And the love of a child for her mother is so love, 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 love. Love, 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 love. Love is wonderful, oh, so wonderful.
I'd like to give a special thanks to Corey Goldberg on the music mix, engineer Chris Tobin shooting some video for us, Isaiah McLean for our social media, and everyone at WBGO for welcoming Cooper Moore to our studios. Our production intern, Molly Fichter, for helping us with that Cooper Moore production. And I'd like to remind all of you that we have a social media following on Twitter and Facebook. The handle @CheckoutJazz on Twitter and the Checkout from WBGO on Facebook, which is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.